Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, it's Thursday, July the 5th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Be patriotic. Get involved with ending senseless marijuana prohibition in America right now. Just visit norml.org to join today and get involved with legalization. It's going to be a jam-packed couple of episodes today and tomorrow here on the Audio Stash. Today, we've got our segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine on cannabis science. We're going to dissect the latest ONDCP reefer madness lies going on out there. Don't believe the hype, folks. We got the truth right here on the Audio Stash. Also today, part one of a two-part interview with the hip-hop group Potluck from Humboldt County, California. We're going to feature part two of our interview tomorrow, and we're going to be giving away their CD straight out of Humboldt. You can win those CDs tomorrow on the program. Also tomorrow on the Audio Stash, we've got a brand new interview with PBS travel host and Normal Advisory Board member Rick Steves. A great interview as well. Rick is one of the most passionate individuals in this country who is interested in ending American marijuana prohibition. It's always a great privilege and pleasure to have him here on the Audio Stash, Rick Steves, on tomorrow's program. So we're going to have some potluck music today and tomorrow. Let's get right into the show today with our weekly cannabis science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Joining us each week, usually on Wednesdays, is Dr. Mitch Earlywine to discuss the science of cannabis. Mitch is professor of psychology at State University of New York, author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book, Pot Politics. Mitch, welcome back to the show today.
Oh, glad to be here.
Great to speak with you this week, Mitch. Now, almost like clockwork, there is a new Reefer Madness campaign from the DEA and ONDCP every summer. This year, like many years in the past, it seems to be focusing on THC potency in marijuana, although this time around they seem to have upped the ante a bit. Many are saying that marijuana is so potent right now that it's vastly more addictive and perhaps lethal. Mitch, what's the truth here?
I'm flabbergasted at the idea that marijuana would have a toxic dose. Anybody even believes that? There is occasionally like some old man who comes in with rapid heart rate and they say, oh, he smoked marijuana and maybe that's how it could kill you or something like that. But, you know, the animal studies have made it clear, and I've walked through this before, I think the lethal dose would be somewhere around 2 pounds. If you could smoke 2 pounds by yourself, I guess you would die, but I just can't imagine how that would happen. So I'm stunned by that. My concern is we tell teens this kind of thing, and then, of course, they don't believe it. And then when we say things that really are true, like methamphetamine decreases the size of your brain, they say, oh, well, you're the same jerk who told me marijuana would kill me, so why should I listen?
Now, there is this DEA agent who got some press last week, Mr. Truvell in Miami. He's the head of the DEA in Miami. He actually used the following phrasing, and I quote, "This will hurt you, this will addict you, this will kill you," close quote. This kind of thing is, you know, over the top and full of falsehood, even for the DEA. But, you know, shouldn't DEA agents be a little bit more knowledgeable about what they say here?
Well, these guys aren't scientists. They're really essentially in law enforcement. So they don't, you know, review this literature or really feel like they have any need to. Would increased potency marijuana be more addictive? We're used to thinking about drugs like the opiates or alcohol, where stronger means more in a rapid impact and then, in a sense, a chance for addiction. But when you look at the way people smoke marijuana in the lab, if they have stronger marijuana, they tend to take smaller puffs and they don't hold the inhalations as long. You know, I'm not saying that kids should smoke marijuana, because the data on development are pretty clear that this is not something for folks who aren't adults. But again, this false notion that stronger equals more addictive doesn't really have the empirical support it needs for people to start making these kinds of claims.
Is this some sort of, you know, gross effect of having marijuana classified the way that it is? Is that people, because it's classified with those other drugs, people treat it like those other drugs?
I think so. The decision to make marijuana Schedule 1 puts it in with heroin, which is sort of our model of what is addictive. And, you know, the opiates really do get people hooked, and you do develop tolerance quickly, and withdrawal is very severe, and it really does grab folks in a way that other substances don't. Nevertheless, the idea that marijuana works anywhere comparably is just a complete fallacy.
Now, we've covered this before, but for some of our new listeners, Mitch, is pot even addictive at all?
You know, it's funny because Bob Gore and I did a big survey in the chapter on pot politics where we asked mental health professionals how addictive is marijuana, and it's right there with about caffeine. And if you think about, well, gee, if suddenly we had a real high-potency caffeine thing, would people get more addicted to that? We don't seem to see a lot of data supporting that. The other thing is cannabis's impact is so dramatically rapid that people know how high they are and pretty much can stop when they get to the desired effect. So the notion that somehow you're actually using more or even ending up with more THC in your bloodstream is kind of a faulty assumption, because, in fact, stronger pot doesn't mean you end up with more in your bloodstream. It often means, oh, you smoke a little less and save it for later.
And if there are some folks who do want to stop smoking marijuana, what's the best way?
It's interesting because Mark and Linda Sobel have some data showing that a great many people just decide to quit on their own. They say, wow, this has gone too far. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Whole tons of folks say, you know, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take this month off and see how that goes. If you can't do those things when you've made up your mind to do them, then the opportunity is there to, you know, get a nice cognitive behavioral therapist to walk you through ways to make this easier. I've mentioned my homies at AABT.org, the Association for Cognitive and Behavioral Therapy, has tons and tons of therapists in every city in the nation who are eager to help people with real, you know, cognitive interventions. This doesn't require prayer or going to meetings or anything like that. And if you're, you know, into that idea and think a spiritual approach would work, there is a Marijuana Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Folks often have open arms for folks who are struggling with these kinds of problems. I think often what happens is folks decide it's not that I'm so down on pot, it's that I just have all these other things I want to get done. I'm going to go do those things and see how I feel. And you often find folks who are exercising, eating right, spending a little time with meditation, you know, hanging out with friends and going to events with their families, suddenly they don't have as much time to smoke pot, and suddenly it really isn't the priority it once was.
And Mitch, for teens especially who might have gotten involved with marijuana perhaps too early in life and wish to stop smoking now, wait until they're adults, should they take themselves out of the common social settings where they've been smoking a lot of pot?
There's no simple answer for those kinds of issues. it's not often that, you know, peers are holding you down and blowing smoke in your face. It's usually, hey, these are the people who I hang out with, and they happen to smoke pot, and it seems to be too much of a priority for them. Then you have to say, wow, I need to hang out with folks whose priorities are more like mine.
You know, perhaps the most surprising piece of new reefer madness lies being told by the ONDCP right now and other prohibitionists is that somehow smoking marijuana will make you join a gang. I mean, I hate to give this any further play, but this is one of those lies that does need to be addressed here with the truth.
Again, it's a confusion of cause and effect. So it does seem from a couple of data sets that folks who are in gangs also use pot more often than folks who aren't in gangs. But the idea that smoking pot got you into a gang just doesn't make any sense from a causal perspective. And so I'm stuck with, you know, what is this supposed to do to people as far as, you know, their whole idea of what is logic and what causes gangs and things like that. When you look at these data, it's often there's a whole cluster of problem behaviors in teens who all happen to be in gangs. So, yes, they do drink alcohol, they do smoke pot more often, they do smoke cigarettes more often, and they're often doing poorly in school and things like that. But it's usually a manifestation of a sensation-seeking personality, an environment that really isn't conducive to education and other after-school activities that are more pro-social. And nobody ever says, hey, why don't we go, you know, give these guys a better education in smaller classrooms and teach them to read better and, you know, do these things. Instead, we can say, oh, it's all marijuana. Let's jump on that. It'll be easier.
Now, also, the ONDCP makes this insinuation that being high makes you violent, you know, taking a clear page from the 1930s vintage Reefer Madness campaign, word for word. But, Mitch, you have some new data on aggression. I wondered if you could elaborate on that.
It's funny because the laboratory data suggests it's really not the case. And the stuff that shows marijuana doesn't cause aggression never gets any press. And one study that happened to show an increase in aggression in the lab with eight people, seven of whom were psychopaths, that one is the one we hear about over and over again. So generally when you bring folks in the lab and you want to study aggression, you usually do something to irritate them so then they'll aggress back towards you. And, you know, you can't expect them to punch you in the face, but you often play a game and they'll take away more points or they'll give somebody a shock, that sort of thing. When people are high and you provoke them, what do they say? Hey, dude, why are you provoking me? You know, it's not something that increases aggression at all. And in the early studies, one of them, compared to the placebo group, the people who were high were actually less aggressive than the folks who got the placebo. One of my grad students said it's because the people who got placebo were so mad that they didn't have real pot. But I think really, you know, the point is marijuana doesn't increase aggression in these studies. When you get these big correlational studies where Steve Sussman has some data where he's got, you know, kids who report doing aggressive things also are more likely to smoke pot. But they never ask, were you high at the time? Or even, you know, did you get high and then go do this aggressive thing? They only show this association where if you're likely to engage in one deviant behavior, you're also likely to engage in another deviant behavior. My student, Tom Denson, and I asked people, hey, have you ever done all these aggressive things? And sure, lots of people have done all kinds of things, pulled hair, yelled at people, thrown things. And then we said, did you get high before that? And then the rates were actually markedly lower than you would anticipate. We also asked, did you drink alcohol before that? And as you might imagine, the link between alcohol and aggressive acts was startling and frightening and upsetting in all kinds of ways. The other thing is the best predictor of aggression is being provoked. Well, gee, if you're in a gang where it's kind of part of the culture, if you will, to punch people in the arm as a greeting or to, you know, challenge people about various abilities, then provocation is more likely. So it's not that smoking pot somehow makes this aggression happen, but you're in an environment where aggression is more of the norm, and so, of course, you behave the same way if you want to hang out in the same group.
You know, could it be 180 degrees in the opposite here, Mitch? I mean, if you have violent gang members smoking pot, could they actually become less violent when they're high?
The whole notion of self-medication is something I hear from a lot of clients, but we don't have tons of data on. As you can imagine, it's hard to get a good research study that would say look, marijuana is a good treatment for aggressive problems. And although some of the laboratory data would be consistent with that idea, and a lot of individuals say, this is definitely my experience, we don't have the definitive work to say marijuana can actually help this.
All right, let's round things out. You know, what should people really be thinking when they hear these ONDCP and DEA lies about marijuana?
I think if the people are willing to just keep an open mind and understand that not everything they hear is all the details, we're all going to make progress.
Righto, Mitch. Well, thank you so much for joining us here again today. I look forward to speaking with you every week right here on the Audio Stash.
I'm always glad to help.
Thank you again, Mitch. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. He's professor of psychology at State University of New York and editor of the new book Pot Politics. We have links to his books on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Potluck! Humboldt County Representative Smoke Big! We smoke a lot of pot that we cannot afford. It makes my eyes drop low like a Pauly Shore. Hot box the whole building, out to get millions. Put your child under the door, we smoking more than Ricky Williams. The weed is all natural, no it's not a drug. Join the circle, hit the butt, it's all love. You know you wanna kiss the blunt, just make your lips puckle. And I'ma get you high today like Chris Tucker.
That was a sample of the group we're gonna showcase here today and tomorrow on the program. Potluck is their name. We played a bunch of their tracks here on the Audio Stash in the past. They're on the Suburban Noise record label with the Cottonmouth Kings. Tomorrow on the Audio Stash, we're going to get the chance to give away 5 copies of their CD straight out of Humboldt and a fine Potluck t-shirt. These guys are 100% about promoting legalization and also about the Humboldt County culture as it exists today. Let's get right into part one of our interview. Potluck members One Ton and Underrated joined us by phone earlier in the week. Guys, welcome here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Very good to speak with you guys today. You know, we played a bunch of tracks from Straight Outta Humboldt here on the Stash. First, tell us how you guys formed up and began laying down tracks together.
We met in Humboldt, actually. One Ton moved up from San Diego. We met at a DJ tryout. And ever since then, we started DJing together, and then after that, we started making beats together, and then we started making music together. So we've been doing it probably around 10 years now. So it's a daily thing. We keep on doing it. Keep on doing it.
Right on. Now, you're really talking about this intensely cool culture there in Humboldt County. You guys are popular and have been touring out there, too. So how do folks outside the county and outside California react to that content?
We get a good reception where we go, you know, even when we're hitting new markets that we've never hit before. You know, last time we went on tour, we went to Jacksonville, Florida for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to find out that there's people, you know, there's Potluck fans everywhere, and they know about Humboldt County, and they know about, like, our movement and what we're talking about. And it's definitely a humbling experience, and definitely you feel happy about all the work you've put in, and just to see fans and different things happen and see part of your work come to fruition is definitely a good thing.
And would you guys say that the world of hip-hop in general, you know, that marijuana really is an inseparable part of the culture in this American genre of expression?
I mean, that's one of the main things in hip hop, man. Every artist, you know, whether it's a mainstream artist, whether it's an underground artist, whether you're from the South, you're from the East Coast, you're from the West Coast, you know, a lot of, you know, rap and hip hop, you know, talks about marijuana in the song. So it's a, you know, it's a freedom of expression, and marijuana is definitely a freedom causing mental alteration. So it's a good thing.
And also, I mean, you know, other forms of music in the past and cultures have had marijuana be a big part of their scenes, like classic rock, folk rock, even jazz. But do you think that hip-hop artists sort of enjoy a different level of freedom and the form of expression so that cannabis is talked about more often than anywhere else?
Well, I mean, I think that just goes along with just hip-hop's overall mentality of going against the system and being the outcast and having to speak on topics that, you know, the mainstream public might not want to hear about, you know, whether it's, you know, gangster rap or whether it's how certain women are running around acting these days. You know, it's like that's just the culture of hip-hop, is to speak about the stuff that you're not supposed to speak about, because that's the reality of the life that most hip-hop people live.
We're with One Ton and Underrated, the leaders of the group Potluck, here on the Audio Stash today. We're going to give away copies of their CD tomorrow here on the Stash, so make sure to tune in tomorrow as well. Their latest CD is called Straight Outta Humboldt, and the famously green area of California is where the group hails from. Guys, I've been up to Humboldt County, but to live there, it must be pretty nice.
Actually, it is as good as everyone says. When people come up here, when they don't know about it, they've heard about it, and they come up here to visit, or they come up here for a week or so, it's a whole different world up here. Like, the marijuana is one thing, but just the way everyone is around it, it's just the way of life around here. That's what everyone does, you know. It's just crazy here. It's a whole different place. If you come up here, like, for instance, Tech N9ne, we did a show with him and all his people. They didn't really understand about it, and they came up here. They left thinking that this is the craziest place they've ever been to, and they were telling everybody about it. If you smoke marijuana, you should come take a vacation here.
You know, so, you know, you were saying that you've been together as a group for, like, the last 10 years. That's how long Prop 215 and medical access have been available in California. Has that made life different there, even in Humboldt County? Have it kind of come out even more there because of all that?
Sort of, but at the same time, I've been here all my life, and that's just the way that it is here. It's not really, you know what I mean? It's almost, you could almost say that it's legal here. It's pretty much, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal here.
It's like a lot of the old school people around here look at Proposition 215 as a bad thing. They look at it like now they've allowed a different element to come into what they've already been working on and what they've already been working with, you know, and they've allowed different things like that to happen. And it's like if you go to the Middle East and you tell them that they have to start giving away their oil for free, you know, or you go to wherever, you know, you go to Florida and start telling them they got to give away their vacation packages for free. You know, it's like kind of a part of the movement is like, you know, being against the system, and now the system is trying to put a Proposition 215 out there and pass all these medical marijuana laws, which is definitely good for the greater goal of liberating marijuana, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, you have those old school guys who, like, look at it like, man, you know, this is just another trick for the man to try to get a hold of us, to get all our names documented, and then come back later and change the laws again and make it worse on all of us again and make it steps, you know, make it take steps back. So, you know, it's kind of, as Proposition 215 is concerned, it kind of got a mixed review from people directly from Humboldt County, and that's kind of surprising. Everyone would think everyone from Humboldt County would be 100% behind it, but it's, you know, it kind of has a mixed review in our area.
We're with One Ton and Underrated from the group Potluck. We're going to feature part two of their interview tomorrow, along with a feature Audio Stash free stuff giveaway. 5 lucky Stash listeners will get a free copy of their newest CD, Straight Outta Humboldt. I also got a super fine t-shirt from these guys to give away as well. Let's get out of here today with one of the tracks from their CD. Here's Potluck with Marijuana 101.
The county with the best weed, you can't impress me. I saw the sticky green way before I was a teen. So I'm fucked up, living Humboldt County life. Still pray to Mary Jane, cause she takes away the pain at night. I'm in a daze, getting blazed every day now. Royal blunts and sprinkled hash is what we pass around. No seeds, no stems, no mold, man. Only hold frosty nugs, call me the snowman. Grab the bong with both hands and suck the smoke. Pull a carbon, breathe it in until it's filling up your throat. Let it enter your chest. Chronic's what we cherish. Us kids in Humboldt County cheapin' more than Robert Parrish. Who you messin' with? I'm a pothead that will never quit. We rollin' fat blunts. You hit that Mexi shit. We buff incredible. Mary J's my centerfold. Back to back smoking and choking until my head explodes.
I see her walk in the bell. and potluck the weed song. I'm a cultivator, a smoker, not a hater. Show you how to roll a blunt, explain it to you later. Cause Mary Jane's a motherfucker, catch you in a caper. I put her in a bone and pimp her for a little paper. Live another day, another hit up off a J. When I say either get high or get up out the way, I don't play about the hay. Smoking more than he say, more hits of bone rips than mouse clicks on eBay. Believe it, it's authentic. Smoke a lot of spinach, been puffing with the big cheese, it's more than just an image. Blunts, I roll them up, then smoke them till they finish. Humble County is the skunk, but Irish is the Guinness. Got a blunt, I like to hit it, no sense in fighting with it. I'm a man who got a problem, time to stand up and admit it. I talk it and I live it, I never want to quit it. Name is Ton, I'm addicted, I love you, man.
Cause wanna make the geek like another Urkel. A weed like Whoopi Goldberg, the color purple. Pass it in the circle, don't fuck up the cypher. Puff, puff, pass the fire, don't try to cut my lighter. I blow throw in a peach and bong. Smoke like Cheech and Chong, to the hash he's gone. To the Keith honeycomb and the weed is gone. Get your tweak on loonies and pop up the weed song. You buy singles and packs, I buy boxes. Smoke back to back, knock niggas unconscious. OG Kush one hit, make niggas vomit. Granddaddy purple boy, not the average chronic. I used to have five on it, now I got G's on it. You can't out smoke me, better pee on it. I'll win, sell your weed, buy a candy stain. Triple gold, Dana Danes for that Mary Jane.
I see her walk.
And pop luck the wee song.
First time I met Mary, I knew that I would hit her. Till the end of 95, I was always with her. I rode with her daily, she even came on tour with me. On stage, she wore brown to fool with me. In front of 50,000, 50,000 with Nutty. I got screams just because of my honey. But something good as that, I just couldn't sit with it. I had to share, I let all my niggas hit it. Was good, so we used her and used her and used her. But my sprung ass fucked around and abused her. Then I got scared, told myself I was leaving. But I hit it one more time and that bitch got even. She got even so bad, it was damn near curtains. But that's love for you. This shit had my heart hurting. I still want you, but right now it's too soon. I'ma just settle for hitting it every blue moon.
That was Potluck with Marijuana 101. We have links to them up on the Independent Online Distribution Alliance and their MySpace page. Those links are up at normalaudiostash.com. Part two of our interview with these guys will be airing tomorrow, along with Rick Steves, PBS travel host and Normal Advisory Board member. A brand new interview with Rick, an excellent interview as well. That's all tomorrow right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Make sure you tune in every day right here on the Audio Stash.
755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right. 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds. And 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
James Roquefort here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh, well, now on with the show.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's NORMALAUDIOSTASH.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow. Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.